You can be seated. My name's Scott Loxley. I'm a fairly long-time member of 24, if there's such a thing, since it's not that old a congregation. But I've been asked to share about an incident that happened to our family in 1995 when my youngest son, Matthew, who's back here on the drums, was 6 years old. At that time, Matthew was a very puny little child. Can't tell it now, but he was quite puny. He didn't eat well. He stayed at the doctor a lot. For those of you who don't know, I'm a veterinarian. And if he were a puppy coming in the clinic, he'd be wormy, okay? And Matthew was wormy. But his clinical symptoms started getting worse. And he started developing some unusual things like blurred vision, double vision. His eyes wouldn't track the same. One would look one way, one the other. He had headaches, nausea, kept losing weight. So a lot of doctor visits, et cetera. And Teresa, my wife, and I decided let's get his eyes checked and see if there's something there. A friend of mine's an eye doctor. Teresa took him to that eye doctor that afternoon, and I got a call from him, and he said, Scott, I'm sending Matt and Teresa to a neurologist right now. That was not a good call. I called the neurologist right then and said, hey, when you find something out, give me a call. About an hour later, I got the call. And when I say the call, some of you in here know what I'm talking about because you've had that call. I got that call. Scott, I've just looked at your boy. I'm 99% sure he has a brain tumor. There are two types in children that age. One is operable, decent chance for survival. The other is fatal. He's scheduled for surgery at Vanderbilt in the morning. That was the call. The doctor said, I've sent him and Teresa to the hospital for a CAT scan. You might go be with them. And I rushed to the hospital. Teresa and I, she was the only one in the radiology waiting room at that time, sat down with her. We had very little to say to each other. I just wept. And she comforted me. If you know anything about Loxley men, Rachel, right, you tend to have to be the one.
What are you
going to do? Yeah, gets it honest. But during that time, I'll mention this, there's a time, Christian, in your life that you will pray more fervently, more honestly, more earnestly than any other time. There'll be that time, I promise you. That will happen to you. That was it for me up till now. There may be another one. I don't know. But that was it. And I didn't know what to say to God. I've known God. Since I was 8, I've known God. But I didn't know what to say. And all I could do through the tears and the weeping and the groaning and the moaning was, God, help my boy. God, help my wife. God, help me. Help me. That's all I knew to say. You think he heard it, by the way, church? Yeah, me too. We'll talk about that. During that time, one visitor came to see us. Don't know how she found out, but it was our next-door neighbor. And she came in and sat down between us, put her arms around us, and she said two words, and two words that meant more than you can ever know, more than you could ever know. She said these two words. She said, I know. And she did. Her daughter, Matt's age, had leukemia. So she knew. Tip, word of advice from an old guy to a young church. When you hear of someone that's having a dreadful time like that, there's a few things that you can do. But number one is go. Be there. Go. Number two, if you've gone through it, then you know. And you can comfort them even more. But number three, if you haven't gone through it, friends, you don't know. Don't pretend you do. And don't be given advice and everything's going to be okay and all that. Don't do that. Here's what you do. You go and you put your arms around them and you tell them you love them and that you're sorry and you're praying for them and pray for them right then. If you do that, that'll mean more to them than anything else that you could do. There's my sermon, okay, part of this. CAT scan results came back. No tumor. 99% sure, doctor, no tumor. We still had a sick little boy. We had a young man that, okay, the next day we went for an MRI, didn't show a lot other than a lot of fluid around his brain and pressure. That was, and then that same day we had spinal tap, which, by the way, he had more than one. And that was very difficult in a six-year-old child holding him down to do a spinal tap. He went through a whole lot, and we went through a whole lot. But that proved a condition that he had was, I won't say the name, but it was very uncommon in children less than 12. In fact, there was about a dozen kids in the whole country that had it at that time. It was more common in overweight 40-year-old females on birth control. That wasn't him. He was a puny little guy. Long story short, doctor after doctor, visit after visit, test after test. His eyes were continuing to get worse, and now we're facing the situation where he could lose a lot of vision or even go blind. One thing very important happened first. We received a letter. And on that letter was a list. And that list was broken up in 15-minute time frames. And on that list were names of dear, sweet people who dedicated themselves to pray for Matt and for our family 15 minutes a day, 24-hour prayer, 7 days a week. That sound familiar? If you don't know, there's a board out front, and that's what's happening in our church right now. And if you're not a part of it, become a part of it, and I'll tell you why. That list became so comforting for our family because those sleepless nights and those middle of the days and lunch breaks and whatever, I could look and Teresa could look at that list. And we could see a name at that time. And 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody was praying for us. And I would learn to pray for them while they were praying for us. And then I'd see them later and I'd say, hey, I prayed for you Wednesday morning at 2 a.m. And they'd look at me and say, hey, I was praying for you too. And let me tell you, there's nothing that gives more comfort and peace than that, to know they're praying. Here's the reason that I'm talking to you today. I had more people on that list give me testimony. We give us testimony after testimony after testimony of the power of prayer, of the closeness that they became closer to God. Their faith grew stronger. Their family grew closer, all because of a puny, wormy little boy. And they were praying for him. What about that? And our group, that community that we call it here of Christians around us at that time, we became closer. We became more like family. How does God get glorified through having a sick little boy? There it is. What kind of relationship happened? People very likely got saved because of that. Because of that simple effort that was made by those folks and that dedication that they had. End of the story. After that list, not long after we received that list, we had an appointment with a highly specialized doctor, a pediatric neuro-ophthalmologist. And coincidentally, he was doing a study on this condition. So he was excited to see us. We took him to that doctor. Matt had the tests to test his eyes. Again, he was losing retina. He was losing the part of the eye that we see with, and that was progressive. He did those tests, and then we met with him, and he sat us down, and he said, "Well, I have reviewed all of the medical records, and I've seen the spinal pressures that have been done over and over, that they're always been elevated. I've seen the eye tests; they've always been worse and worse. I've seen all the lab work. I've seen the pictures of the back. I've seen it all, and there is no doubt in my mind that your son had this condition." And then he looked at us and he said, "But you know, he doesn't have it now. It's gone." And he looked puzzled and he said, "I can't explain it." And Teresa and I in unison looked back at him and said, "Well, we can. We can." And that was the power and the mercy and the grace of God Himself working in our life. Am I telling you that every time we have a list and every time we pray to God and ask Him for one specific thing, like we're doing now, am I telling you that He answers it every time? I'll tell you, He does answer it every time. Am I telling you that I believe that God answered that prayer and healed my son the way that I wanted it that time? I'll say absolutely. But am I telling you that God always answers that prayer like we want it? No. I can attest to that. You can attest to that. How many times have you ever prayed to God, "Hey, God, I got this problem, and here's a good way for you to take care of it. I got the solution here, God. So just do it this way, and here's what I want." And you know, God didn't. He did it another way. When you look back at it, you think, His way was so much better. Am I asking you to believe, and am I telling you that God's will is perfect? Yes, I am. Am I telling you that our faith grew more and more after this situation? Oh, absolutely. Am I telling you that our friends and community got closer and closer and closer to God and closer to each other? Yes, absolutely. So much blessing from that. Pray. Join us as we pray for these folks in our church. Pray for each other. Sometime after all this happened. And by the way, he got better. And his eyes came almost perfectly normal. His retinas came back, which never happens. That doesn't happen. Isn't that something? Just doesn't happen, but it did. Sometime after that, I asked all of my family members, which we're all right here in a circle, kind of, give me your favorite Bible verse. And that was really a joy, because I wrote them in the back of my Bible. Periodically, I look at them. And I asked them all, and then when I got to my wife, she very quickly and very quietly said Psalm 116, 1 and 2. And some of theirs I was familiar with, but I wasn't really familiar with that one. But I see now why it was hers. And Psalm 116, 1 and 2 says this: "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call on Him for the rest of my life." Verse 2, "Because He hath inclined His ear unto me." Church, listen. Listen to me. Please listen to me. Prayer. The Bible says when we call on Him, who is the Creator, the Sustainer, He holds everything together, as we talked about early in Acts. He is the merciful God. He is the omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, wonderful, gracious. The only thing out there that's worthy of all, the awesome God Himself does that. When you call upon Him, look what He does. You see it? He inclines his ear. You see that? Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah.
I want to share with you just some scripture this morning. I'm not really teaching like I normally do. And I want to share with you some things that I think are pertinent to what we're talking about this morning. And to be honest with you, over the next several weeks, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to actually be doing kind of a mini series, if you will, on the power of God. And we're talking about that this morning. And if you kind of been paying attention, that's kind of where a lot of this is going. But this morning, as we talk about God's power, I think about the things that we cannot control. I think about things like what Scott just talked about a few minutes ago. When it comes to those moments in life when we can't control what's happening. Those moments that we wish we could control, when we wish we had a button that we could push to just kind of set everything into a box that we could, you know, easily contain it and make it what we want it to be. But life doesn't work that way. And this morning, we're going to be hopefully encouraged by God's Word. And specifically this morning, I just kind of in lieu of what we talked about earlier, what Scott talked about earlier, I think one of the things that we see is we see that trusting in God is a big part of our faith. And in fact, you just take the word, where we're so used to using that terminology, our faith, that we miss what that means. I mean, just even in saying that in our faith, we are saying that we have faith in Christ. We have faith in God. And one of those phone calls, like what Scott got many years ago, came to a friend of mine this week. Came to a pastor friend of mine. And he got a call on Tuesday. He had gotten some interesting things back from some tests and a little procedure they had done. And Tuesday morning he got the phone call, and I got the phone call to find out about it on Friday morning, that he has cancer. He has a very rare and aggressive type of cancer. In fact, we're going to add him to our prayer board out there. His name is David Landreth, and he pastors a church in Hendersonville called Long Hollow. David is a good friend of mine, and I'll be honest with you, I've struggled the last couple of days just thinking and on that and trying to, you know, make sense out of it. And I sent him a message yesterday, and I told him, I said, for what you're going through, I can't imagine. And I said, but he's preaching this morning in Hendersonville. And I told him, I said, I know you're preaching, and I said, you are going to be heard by people that have never been willing to listen to you before right now. God is going to be glorified through you, and I'm going to pray that God is glorified through you, and we in Pleasant View are going to pray for you. And so I want to take just a second right now for us to pray for him and pray for some of these others that are heavy on our hearts as a part of our body. So let's take just a second and let's pray together. God, we come to you knowing that you are your God. And that's amazing. Lord, if we really think about that and take that in and remember who you are and what you've done, God, I just pray this morning, Lord, that we would faithfully trust in you to be you. Because we can't be you. And so, God, this morning, we just pray. Lord, we pray for Alexis London. We continue to pray for Lori Shadowen. And Lord, today we pray for David Landreth. And we ask, Lord, that you would heal them from these things. Lord, use the medicines, use the doctors. God, at the end of the day, Lord, we pray that you would show out in such a way that we look at what you've done and we know you did it. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to get to see you work in such amazing ways, Lord, such as this. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. This idea of God having power is one of those things that, you know, I think for most of us, you know, we're used to thinking about it, but we don't think a whole lot about it when it comes to day-to-day basis. And I think, honestly, that hurts us. It hurts us as believers. It hurts us in our calling. It hurts us in all the things that God wants for us in this life. If we miss the power of God and who He is and what He can do and what He has done, then we kind of mess things up. I don't think that we realize that, but we end up messing things up. You know, for all of us, think we have that desire that we want to be able to be the superhero. You know, I mean, you know, we'll spend big bucks to go see a 3-hour movie to escape for a little while just to think about what it would be like to be the superhero and to put ourselves in their place. We grew up reading comic books, or I did, doing the same. And at the end of the day, we can't be superheroes, but here at the end of the day, we don't need to be either, because we don't need superpowers when God already has them. But we forget about that, because we're so great at making it all about us that we completely miss the fact that God is in control, and that all we've got to do is trust Him. Let me ask you a question. You really believe that? Does your faith show that? Does your life show that? Or this week, just this week, have you been worrying about something this week? Something you've been anxious about? Something that, I mean, you're driving yourself crazy. You're working extra long, extra hard. You're trying to compensate, and I mean, you're getting to the end of your rope. Or are you trusting and having faith that He'll be who He says He is? If you look at Scripture, and we're going to run through some passages. If you've got your Bible and you want to get out, that's fine. I'm not going to have the ushers come, because we're just going to run real fast through these. But Genesis 1:1, starting with creation and of itself, we see this. It says this in Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said," did you hear it? "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." And then in verse 6 it says something. Again, "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day." You've got your Bible, and you look at that passage, and you go down and you see each day what God created. It starts out with, "And God said." He did what we could only dream of doing. He spoke things into existence. That's pretty powerful. You and I, we can't speak somebody into taking the trash out, right? We can't speak somebody into cleaning up their room. We can't speak our car into being washed on its own, right? God has power over all of creation. All of creation. So why would we doubt for one second that He couldn't have power over something like a tumor? He does. His power makes Himself known. It makes Him famous. What happened with Lori? You know, last week, if you weren't here last week, Lori's doctors come back and they say, "Guess what? The cancer, there's no more. It's gone. We've scanned your body every which way, and we can't find any more of it." that's a God thing. You see, when God works in ways like that, He works in ways where He's showing out. And that's on purpose. Because all of the things that He has done, including us as His creation, including the heavens and the earth and the light and the dark and all of those things, were all made for His glory, that He would be seen and He would be made known. And you say, why would He do that? Because He's God. He should make Himself known. He desires us. He wants to know us. Furthermore, He's selling the best product on the market, and I'm glad that He markets Himself pretty well. He brings salvation. In fact, we see Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. It's also in the book of Luke. But in Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus in verses 1 through 12 battling against Satan, if you will. And Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and Satan comes along, and Satan tempts Jesus three times. This is the same three temptations, same three types of sins that we see in the book of 1 John when it comes to these things that that we see: desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions. And so for us to recognize that, basically summing up all of the sin in the world into these types of sins, Jesus overcame their temptation. Let me ask you a question. Did you overcome all of those temptations this week? Absolutely not. Jesus defeated sin in that moment. He showed us that He had power over sin. And I'll be honest with you, when I've read some of those scriptures at times in my life, I look at some of the things that Satan is saying, and I'm going, man, Jesus, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. I mean, you know, like that Satan would say, you know, hey, I'll just bow out. I'll just like leave the picture. All you got to do is just bow down and worship me, and then I'm gone. I'll just let you have the thing, and we're good. I mean, I'm thinking, man, that would be, you know, that would have been a whole lot easier for everybody, right? No, because that's a trap. And Satan knew it was a trap. And for Jesus to have done that would have been Him denying that He is God Himself. And in doing so, He would have denied us anything that He could have ever offered us, including being our rescuer that we just sang about. Romans 1:16 says this. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." You hear that? It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever believed in God, that He would save you from your sin? Have you ever trusted in Him with that? Just one little step of faith. Because it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So in other words, it is for everyone and anyone that would believe in Him. And we know that from other passages. And in verse 17 it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith." I'm going to talk about that. "As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." If you're here this morning and you've never believed, you've never put your faith into Christ, I want you to understand something that's, I mean, I'll call it magical. I mean, it's just a God thing that happens when we believe, when we put our faith in Christ. One of the things that happens is that if we take that little step of faith, it says right here, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith." So in other words, if we believe, we put our faith in Him for faith. You get that? "In it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith." See, what God does is, in our little bit of faith, in believing in Him and in trusting in Him, He in turn gives us faith that understands and believes in who He really is and His ultimate power. See, if you're not a believer, that doesn't make complete sense to you. But for those of us that know Christ, we understand that in Christ we have been given an amount of faith that is something that is not from us, but it is from Him, that in those moments of life when we get those phone calls, we can believe in Him and we can trust. Because as it says, the righteous shall live by faith. I was reminded of this yesterday in this passage that we showed a picture of last week, that one of the guys of the church got tattooed on his back after a message earlier in the year. And it was just a brief portion of the passage. In the passage, I believe it was Peter that said it in the book of Acts. And it says, "Do not fear, only believe." Do not fear, only believe. And I got to be honest with you, I needed to read that. I needed God to speak to me through that and be reminded that for me to fear, for me to worry, for me to be so wound up over the things in this world, silly, because it is in the faith that I have in Christ, He is the most powerful. He created everything. And yet we doubt that He might not take care of us. Pretty silly. Philippians 2 says this. Philippians 2:9 says, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus has power over all things. And there will come a day when every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord of all. I mean, that means everybody that we know. That means everything ever created will worship Him and give Him glory. God has given us an opportunity that we could recognize His power for what it is. And this morning, we're going to remember the power that came in the form of salvation through God sending His Son Christ to be killed on a cross. We're going to take a moment and we're going to receive communion together. Let's just take a second and let's pray. I want you just right where you are for just a second. I know it's like kind of warm in here and stuff because the temperatures are changing outside or whatever. I know you may want to go sleepy, but man, don't just hang in here with me. I know we lost an hour. I want you just to ask yourself this question. What am I not trusting God with? What am I holding on to? What am I not allowing Him to be the Lord of in my life? What thing is keeping me anxious? What thing am I worrying about? I want you to put that thing on a platter and I want you to give it to Him right now. God, we come to You. And Lord, we're asking, Lord, that You would take those things from us. And God, forgive us where we've not trusted in You and had faith in You. But Lord, we pray right now that we believe that You are the Lord over all of those things. God, Lord, show, Lord, Yourself to be true to that. From the biggest things to the smallest things, Lord, we trust in You that if You're big enough to save us from our sin and from death, Lord, then You're big enough to save us from these things too. Lord God, be glorified in our lives and in our faith in You.